about it, because that guarantees that you have everything that you need, or God is going to give you everything you need. You're going to be able to grow and develop and mature. And one of the great things about that is when we honor and glorify God, it gives us purpose in life. And isn't it great to feel like you're winning? Isn't it great to feel like you're accomplishing something that's worthwhile in this life? If the greatest thing in our life that we could possibly do is to bring honor and glory to God, and God supplies everything we need in order to do that, that pretty well says that we're going to be able to do it. Hello, and thanks for listening. I'm Jason Sparks. This is Sparking Spiritual Growth. Thanks for tuning in on the Gospel Radio Network. My goal is to help you. I'm trying to help myself and help you. And at the same time, you can let me know what you need, if you need anything, or if you need any topics discussed, or anything you'd like to discuss, let me know, because I want to help all that I can. And today I want to talk about motivation. I'm a big proponent of knowing our reason why we do things. I remember growing up, my dad always asked me that. Everything I did, if I got in trouble, you know, is always, why'd you do that? And you know what the answer was? I don't know, right? That's what really troubled me. Every time I got in trouble, he always asked me that, and I never understood why, but I do now, of course. Now that I'm older, I get it. And our motives are very important in keeping us going. It can make us or break us when we're trying to do something. And growth is difficult anyway. If we're not doing it for the right reasons, we're not going to do it. It's not going to be something that sustains us. So they're going to talk about that and why it is that we do the things that we do. And from a biblical perspective, this is what should be our motives. And if they're not, then we ought to be looking at ourselves how to change those motives so that we can start in the right way. Now, obviously, we don't want to stop growing. Even if we have the wrong motive, we can shift our motives. Instead of stopping everything, we just shift. But this is something that's very important for me, and I think it will be for you. I don't know about you, but around here where it's been raining like crazy. It's been raining for like 2 weeks, and we're supposed to get for the next 10 days. We had about 3 days of no rain, and it was just enough to where someone takes care of the church building yard, and they came out and put the level as high as they could get it and spun out a whole bunch. Thankfully, didn't tear up the yard and everything, but kind of just cut the tops off all the grass, because it just keeps growing. And even though it's raining, it's still growing and growing and growing. And people are talking to me about how they're getting in trouble in their communities with the homeowners associations and stuff, telling them they got to cut their yard, right? And he said, how do you cut it if you're underwater? And I'm sure it's a very big problem. Not that I'm complaining because we have rain, because there'll be times when we really wish we had it. So I'm thankful for it, but it can be challenging. The problem is that we are going to always grow. It's going to happen. Now, it doesn't mean that we're going to grow in the way that we want to. So when I talk about growth, I'm talking about intentional growth of our own, or of God's design, our own design. We're trying to make ourselves grow into a certain place. But reality is we're always changing into something. We're always morphing. And we get to choose what that looks like, because anything that's living is going to be growing. It's going to be changing. That's part of what life is. So in doing that, we're going to have to understand what God wants us to do and how we should change. And that'll help us then kind of outline where we should go, that kind of thing. First of all, I want you to know that you're in this group because you want to grow. And I appreciate that. I'm very thankful that you're here. I'm hoping that we can help each other out. I wanted to read John chapter 15, verses 1 through 8, because this really is talking about growth. Jesus says, I'm the vine, I'm the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I've spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask and you will what you desire, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Now that is very familiar with us, most likely. And it talks about growth. In fact, it says that if we're not producing fruit, that we're going to be cut off eventually, right? We're going to be dismissed. That's not a good place to be. But if we are bearing fruit, then he'll prune us so that we'll bear even more fruit. God will prune us and help us to grow and bear even more fruit. So we have a helper in this. It's God who is pruning us, and it's Jesus who is supplying us the things that we need for life. And it's we who are actually growing the fruit. And that doesn't mean we're alone, of course, but that's the source is from God. But we still are growing it ourselves. It's an active, we're active participants in that growth. But I want you to notice that the reason he talked about this was verse 8, the last verse that I read. He said, "By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. In this way, he says, so in this way, you will be my disciples." How is that? By glorifying God. We're bearing fruit, so that brings glory to God. Like any farmer, he's going to be glorified by what grows in there. If he can't grow anything, then that's not much glory. But he will be glorified if we bear much fruit. God will be glorified. And that's really the primary motive that we have as Christians, is to bring glory to God. And there may be a lot of other reasons that we do things, but that's the primary. God is first. He's the most important. And it's not that God needs us to glorify him, right? He has all glory and honor right now. Whether we do anything or not, he still is not going to detract from him, really. But if we want to bring honor and glory to him, we're going to grow. And we need that as much, you know, more than anything else. We are the ones who need that. We need to be showing God glory, and God deserves it. All the things that he's done, all the activities he's been involved in since the very beginning of time, beginning of the creation, he's made us. And he's brought humanity along to this point, and he's done a lot of great things for us, obviously. So he deserves all the credit. He deserves all the glory that we can give him. And this is what we live for. Jesus himself said that he lived for the glory of his Father, that everything he did and everything he said, he only did those things which were taught to him by God, by his Father. So this is what makes life worthwhile. We are living for him, bringing him honor and glory. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17 says, "Everything we do, whether in word or deed, we must do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." So we are giving thanks to God. We're giving him glory by doing things in accordance with what Jesus taught us and how he taught us. And so we're following him as closely as we can, and that brings him glory. And he says also that his desire is that we bear much fruit, right? He doesn't want us to just bear a little bit of fruit. He wants us to bear all the fruit that we can. And of course, if he wants that from us, he can provide it for us. And that's part of what he talks about here when he's talking about in verse 7. He says, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you." That's not a blanket statement, I don't think, saying that, you know, whatever we want. So I'm doing God's will, so I just ask for a Lamborghini and he'll give it to me. That's not the point. This is related to the bearing of fruit. So while we're looking at how to grow, anything that we ask in relationship to this growth of fruit, the praise and honor and glory of God, all those things will be provided for us. And if we have need, they will all be supplied, because it's, if I can say this without saying the wrong thing here, it's in his best interest to supply us with the things that we need for us to grow. And that's certainly true. It's for his own honor and glory that he provides us everything we need for our growth and development. And that's a really good thing for us if you think about it, because that guarantees that you have everything that you need, or God is going to give you everything you need. You're going to be able to grow and develop and mature. And one of the great things about that is when we honor and glorify God, it gives us purpose in life. And isn't it great to feel like you're winning? Isn't it great to feel like you're accomplishing something that's worthwhile in this life? If the greatest thing in our life that we could possibly do is to bring honor and glory to God, and God supplies everything we need in order to do that, that pretty well says that we're going to be able to do it. And the only reason we can't is because we fail somewhere. And I think that's why we need each other to help push us along, right? So that we're doing whatever it takes for us to be to bring glory to God in the most, to grow as much fruit as possible. God will help us with that. We're going to help each other with that. So God is glorified, and that's our primary work. As Christians, and whatever we need for that task to be done, it will be supplied to us. Now, John says this in a different way. He says, if we pray in anything in accordance with his will, he will provide it for us. Well, that relates to the same idea. Anything related to his will is that we grow and we mature and we bring him glory and honor. That's ultimately what his will is, and he will help us do that. So I love the fact that we have a God who helps us and has, in fact, invested in us so much that the results that come from our growth are what are in his best interests, which means that he's going to, of course, continue to support those things that we're trying to accomplish. So if our will and our goals are in alignment with what God desires, which is his glory and honor, which he deserves, then we are guaranteed to be able to do that. And it's amazing when you think about it that way. I've had people in my life, maybe you have too, coaches, you know, my spouse, I've had good friends who have invested in me, and it became something somewhat for them, an investment, so that the better I do, the better off they were, the better it was for them as well. And that's a good thing, good place to be. And you've invested in people where you want to see them succeed because it'll help you as well. In any case like that, we know that there's going to be everything that we can provide, we're going to provide, right? Everything that other people need to provide for us so that for us to succeed, they're going to provide that as much as they can. And God's the same way. He's going to provide for us. And how much can God give? Everything, right? So that's the kind of the foundational idea of what it is to grow and why we grow, because it brings glory and honor to God. Now, there are a whole lot of other things that happen when we grow, though. We really enjoy life. We have purpose. We have meaning. And in fact, if you look at in Galatians chapter 5, 22 and 23, he talks about the fruit of the Spirit. And in that section, he's contrasting the works of the flesh with the fruit of the Spirit. The works of the flesh are things like envy and hatred and evil things, right? These are things that they kind of go along hand in hand with what comes natural for us. We just kind of, if we just reacted to things, our natural inclination would be to do things in a worldly way. And on the contrast, we have the Holy Spirit who gives us his word. And if we follow God through following his word, then what happens is we produce fruit, because, you know, you always reap what you sow. So if we plant spiritual seed, we have spiritual fruit that comes. That's the idea. And that list includes love, joy, and peace. That's what it starts out with. I think those are the three biggest ones. Those are kind of the goals, what we're looking for. All the other parts kind of build to that. And in fact, love is the greatest one. It's mentioned first. It's the primary. And everything after that is really, in that list, is really simply an explanation of what love is. So it's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, godliness, gentleness, self-control. And when we are putting those into practice, that's a very good life. Have you ever thought of what it would be like if your life was consumed with joy or consumed with peace or consumed with love? That's what makes life worth living, right? And so we're doing things that are good. We're glorifying God. And at the same time, we're getting a lot of great benefit from that. Because how many of us don't want to live that kind of life? I don't know anybody that says, you know, my life is just too joyful, right? I wish I didn't have so much joy. I wish peace of mind just didn't exist, right? Because I just have way too much of it. Nobody ever says that. We never have enough of that, because it's an eternal concept, really. Those are eternal traits. And there is no end. Is there actually a limit to those things? I mean, I've reached level 100 in peace. Can't have any more of it, right? No, there's no such thing. There's no end to it. And so this is one of the great things about growth. It makes life worthwhile. We're bearing a lot of fruit. And there is another thing I'd like to say about that, and you know this one too, is growth is not always pleasant. It's not always easy. and a lot of times it's pretty uncomfortable. Most of the growth that we see in our lives that's positive growth is going to come at a price, right? We're going to have to pay for it. And sometimes that price is something that we don't choose. Because we maybe make mistakes, or we lack those traits enough. So maybe I'm too impatient. I don't have enough patience. And because of that, I rush into something, I do something bad, or I lose my patience and I end up hurting myself or hurting other people. Then I may get in trouble and I may, you know, have bad consequences come from that, right? And when they do, then that's painful. But that's not something that I necessarily chose. Now, I know that, you know, I think it was, I can't remember who it was, somebody on television a long time ago, I heard he's not a psychologist, but he pretends to be. One of the things he said really caught my eye, my ear. He was talking about the fact that when we make choices, when we make decisions, not only are we choosing to do a certain thing, but we're also choosing the consequences of that. And that's true in essence. Now, we don't necessarily, we may not be mindful of what those consequences are, but realistically speaking, we are responsible for the consequences that we create. And so we are responsible. We, in a way, we've made the choice to have bad things happen to us when we do bad things, even though none of us would actually choose those things. But that's kind of the negative aspect of growth, isn't it? The positive aspect of growth is when we can actually choose, we intentionally choose, I want to have these kind of results. I want to have good things happen, but I'm going to put myself through some difficult times in order to bring those things about, right? That's what growth is about. That's what spiritual growth is all about. We are choosing what is sometimes difficult and unpleasant and uncomfortable, and as a trade-off, we are growing from that, and we learn how to do things then. We learn how to experience things, and none of us should be trying to beat ourselves up, but we are choosing to do something that's going to be a little uncomfortable for us, and that's how growth can come. And God is really good at helping us go through, and I've noticed that, and you probably have too. He's also very faithful to make sure that what we go through is going to be something that we can learn to depend on Him through, that we can get through it. He can get us through. And part of that growth is learning to trust Him, that he knows what He's doing, and He can get us through. So growth is never easy, or it's not easy. It's not always pleasant. It sometimes can be fun, and sometimes it can be very enjoyable, but sometimes it's not. It really depends on what we're facing. And also, we need to remember that growth isn't a way to attempt to earn salvation. I don't think anybody thinks that, but I want to address that, because there is a balance that we have between faith and works, right? And faith without works is dead. But at the same time, we are not suggesting, or I don't want to suggest, that you can be perfect enough so that you can go to heaven and you don't need Jesus. That's completely false. We can't be perfect. And even if we could be perfect, it's pretty obvious that we're not perfect now, right? I mean, none of us in here are perfect. If we ever get to the point where we are perfect, we still have a past where we were not perfect. And that past has to be covered by the blood of Jesus, has to be forgiven in order for us to be right and pleasing to God. So we have to have His forgiveness from things. But at the same time, that also does not mean that since we can't work our way to heaven, that doesn't mean that we can just sit back and coast and have Him do everything for us. God doesn't change us unless we are trying to change ourselves. And I don't know if you've noticed that or not, but if we're not trying to do the right thing, we're not trying to grow in the right way, chances are we're not going to grow in the right way. We may grow into something else. We may, you know, we're always changing, but if we want to change in accordance with what God wants, He may kind of put us in the general ballpark, but we're going to have to make some decisions of our own whether or not we're going to do those kinds of things, whether or not we're going to grow in the way that He wants. And so what we tend to do is to make mistakes. We tend to, you know, especially if we're just kind of going by the seat of our pants, we're just reacting the way that we think we should react instead of thinking, sitting down and looking and see what God wants us to react. When we stop doing those kinds of things, stop making those decisions, we're going to be in a lot of trouble. So anyway, I just wanted to bring that up and talk to you a little bit about what growth is, or why it is that we grow. I want to hear from you too. What's your motivation? What are you trying to get out of your growth, your spiritual growth? and what is it that can help you? And a lot of times we may not even realize what it means to grow spiritually. But what I'm talking about mainly in this group is the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, godliness, self-control. And I missed one of them in there. Gentleness, I think. I think I missed that one. There's 9 of them. And we'll be talking a lot about those kinds of things, because that's really what spiritual growth is all about. And those things really add up to love. And hopefully it's my intention to be in here frequently, talking about these kinds of things and how to do them and giving tips and tricks. And I may even have some interviews here and there. And I'd love to hear from you. If there's something that you would like to put on here, let me know. We can talk about what you can say, and we can, you know, get it all set up and ready to go. Because my intention is that we all grow. We grow in friendship, we grow in love toward God, and that we can help each other be a better Christian. So let me know what you think. Comment below, and it's already been 20 minutes. Wow, that was fast, so I'm going to go ahead and get off. But I appreciate you watching this, and look forward to hearing from you. Talk to you later.